To have fellowship with you. Very, very well done, boys. I don't know what form you're in. What year are you in?
I'm year four.
Very good, lovely. My daughter teaches year two. And my son-in-law is head of a big school in Abingdon, 450 children there, and that was excellent. Oh, it really was. Thank you very much. It's a great irony, really, because I chose particularly Daniel, and then Clive tells me that you had Daniel last week. We're going to be a bit broader this week. We won't be only talking about Daniel. In fact, we're going to be talking much more generally as well. But my theme, you probably have guessed, is faithfulness. And faith leading to faithfulness, of course. They are interlinked. And I noticed in the first song that we sang, we've been referring to faithfulness there. And also in Clive's prayer, he was talking about somebody, I'm not too sure who it was, faithfully working. And we live in a day of great faithlessness, sadly, whether it be in marriage, whether it be in politics, whether it be President Putin saying that all they were doing was just having exercises on the Ukrainian border. The faithlessness of people is pretty awful. And it's very, very sad when people do let us down. I was Skyping last night, actually, a friend of mine. As you know, I teach French and Spanish. And he was from Santander. He was in Santander, not the bank, the actual real city in Cantabria. And we were chatting on Skype for about three quarters of an hour. And we've known each other since 1968. Remember walking into this particular cafe, and there he was sitting on a stool, and we started chatting. So we've known each other for 56 years. And to have a long friend. That's 8 years before I actually married my wife. So it was lovely to chat to him and to talk about various things. And he said something which was quite interesting. He said, "Hay que alimentar la amistad." You have to nourish friendship. And he has been a faithful friend. And I went to look through quite a bit of scripture this morning, although I got my eye on the clock, so we'll go quickly. The definition in Hebrew of faithful is the Hebrew word aman. It means firm, true, steadfast, sure, trustworthy. In Greek, it's pistos, and it just means trustworthy as well. Now, seeing as I'm a teacher, I'm going to ask a question, and that is, what is the most important point in Scripture about faithfulness? Oh, that's very interesting. My wife didn't get it either. The answer is that God is faithful. Oh, of course. It starts with the Lord. It starts with his faithfulness to us. And it's a basic characteristic of Almighty God. In 1 Peter 4 we read, "So then those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good." In Isaiah 49 we read, "This is what the Lord says, the Redeemer and Holy One of Israel, to him who was despised and abhorred by the nation and to the servants or rulers, kings will see you and stand up, princes will see and bow down." He's talking about Messiah, because the Lord, who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you, is speaking as to Messiah. In Hosea, we read in Hosea 11, "And Judah is unruly against God, even against the faithful Holy One, because our faithful One, our faithful God is unchanging." And I was going to read faithful one. So Clive beat me to that, and so did all of you, and it was lovely. We, as you may know, I'm Welsh for my accent, and in fact, I'll be going to Swansea with with Anne, my wife, and her twin sister, Margaret, who's just come over from Jersey to live in Lechlade. I'll be going back to Swansea, and I'll be going down there, and my accent will change. My accent will actually change. It was very Spanish last night, and it will become very South Walian. You think this is Welsh, you should hear me tomorrow. But the point is, we used to have meetings there. We used to have Bible school, and the Bible school was an opportunity for all those who were going to be preaching on the Sunday to come together. It's a very good idea. And about 35 of us would meet, and we would have ministry for 3 hours, from half past 9 o'clock to half past 12. We would have three ministers ministering to us for three quarters of an hour, and then slots for question and answer, and so on and so forth. And we have very good friends, again, long-time friends. They're now in Kidwelly near Tenby in Pembrokeshire. And Brian's wife, Gwen, whenever she had the opportunity, I don't know if when you have prayer meetings, whether anybody starts singing. Does anybody start singing in prayer meetings here? Oh, what a shame, you should start that, it's very good. Particularly in Wales we do that and we start singing. And Gwen would sing Faithful One as we were praying. And of course, David Kendrick isn't here this morning, but of course he's the second bass with me in the gospel choir. We haven't been able to meet for 2.5 years because of COVID, and we're missing it terribly. But you imagine being in Cardiff, St. David's Hall, with 250 men singing, and going into the green rooms, and 50 second basses praying together. All the men would pray in different rooms. And then one would start singing, and the other 49 would join in. When people sing, it's wonderful to join with them. And this is a wonderful thing that Gwen would sing, Faithful One. See, a very high soprano voice. So unchanging. Ageless One, you're my rock of peace. Lord of all, I depend on you. I call out to you again and again. And it recalls God's covenant with Abraham, isn't it? Abraham believed the Lord and he credited to him as righteousness. That's in chapter 15 of Genesis. And then in Genesis 17, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Walk before me faithfully. And Abraham fell face down and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. You will be called Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant before me and you and your descendants after you, for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you now reside as a foreigner, I will give you as an everlasting possession, to you and to your descendants after you, and I will be their God. And the interesting thing about a covenant is that it's not so much getting into a relationship with God as about staying in it. You notice that it's in Genesis 15 that Abram believed the Lord and the Lord credited him for righteousness. And then the covenant came in Genesis 17 because they were already in a relationship of faithfulness. A covenant is not a contract in which God and human beings agree to provide particular goods and services for each other. It's not something that we have to do to create a relationship with God, because God has freely and graciously already made it possible. Abraham was faithful, and God then created this covenant, this Abrahamic covenant with him. And the leader has to be faithful, as we see in God's covenant with Moses. In Numbers 12 we read, when there was a prophet among you, I, the Lord, reveal myself to them in visions. I speak to them in dreams. But this is not true of my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. And the people are to be faithful. Exodus 19, verses 5 to 8. Now if you obey me and fully keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possessions. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. So Moses went back and summoned the elders of the people and set before them all the words that the Lord had commanded him to speak. The people all responded together, we will do everything the Lord has said. So Moses brought their answer back to the Lord. And we continue the story through the Old Testament, isn't it? Joshua, the very, very famous declaration that he made in chapter 24. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Faithful. And then wonderful Caleb. You remember, I love Caleb. I know it means dog, but some people say it also means something else. But anyway, whatever. Caleb, that wonderful man of God. Can you remember how old he was when he said that, you know, he was God, he still had his strength? I think it was 85. I don't know if... there we are. We used to go to a church in mid-Wales, in Cregrina. If you know Llandrindod Wells, Llandrindod is interesting, you see, because Drindod means Trinity. So it is the town of the Trinity, Llandrindod Wells anyway. There's a spa there, so Wells. And there's another place close by called Bothwells. And then if you lose your way, you'll end up in a little place called Cregrina, because it's right in the middle of the countryside. And there we had the fellowship of the elder, one of the elders there, Mr. Evans. He was the blacksmith of Bilth. And He was with us. I think I got to know him when he was about 85, 87, something like that. And the Lord kept him until he was 102. And my word, he was as strong at 102 as he was whenever he was in the forge. It's true, you know, my friends. Don't you dare say, and I'm sure there's nobody here who says it, that when you get old, you retire. There's no retirement in the kingdom of God. I'm so sorry. Some people would like there to be and just sit on their, you know, just sit on their hands, sit in the back of the church and say, oh, yeah, the youngsters doing now, the youngsters can do it. I can tell you for a fact, there are a lot of young fogies, okay? Terrific amount of young fogies who just kind of say, I just want this, I don't want any complications, etc., etc. I know enough about Sunday school now and I don't really want to know any more. Whereas in fact, there are older people who are yearning to teach them more of the scripture. And we value tremendously older people. And Caleb was faithful, the son of Nun. I wonder who Nun was, but whatever it was, he had a wonderful son. And there were faithful kings, of course. David and Solomon spring to mind, Josiah, Hezekiah, but many were not. There were a huge number of kings that were not faithful. In Psalm 31, David speaks of a faithful people. Love the Lord, all his faithful people. The Lord preserves those who are true to him, but the proud he pays back in full. And in 2 Chronicles 7, Solomon is given a clear promise and a warning from God regarding faithfulness. And it's very, very interesting at this point because Solomon starts very, very well. Very well. And God says to him, as for you, if you walk before me faithfully, as David your father did, and do all I command and observe my decrees and laws, I will establish your royal throne, as I covenant with David your father when I said, you shall never fail to have a successor to rule over Israel. But, you know, there are many wonderful buts in scripture. You know, I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor hath it entered into the heart of man those things that God has for us. But it has been revealed by the Holy Spirit. There are wonderful buts. This is a terrible one. This is a terrible one. But if you turn away and forsake the decrees and commands I have given you and go off to serve other gods and worship them, then I will uproot Israel from my land, which I have given them. That's exactly what happened. Solomon was not faithful. And he did drift away. 1 Kings 11 says, the Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice. Eventually, 250 years later, the northern king, remember what happened with Solomon? He had, obviously there were a lot of sons, but essentially the one son and another son, they split, and 10 kingdoms in Israel, 2 kingdoms in Judah, it was Judah and Benjamin. And 250 years later, the northern kingdom of Israel, the 10 tribes, were invaded by the Assyrians and taken into captivity in 722 BC. In spite of the prophet's warnings, and there were quite a list of prophets who were saying, come back to God, be faithful, because if you don't, you will be taken into captivity. That was Joel, Amos, Micah, Isaiah, and Hosea. All of those were saying, come back. Do not be faithless. You will go into exile if you do that, because God has said you will. Later, in spite of a few of their kings being faithful, that was Uzziah, Hezekiah, and Josiah, the faithlessness of the majority of their kings caused the remaining two tribes, Judah and Benjamin, to be invaded and taken captive by the Babylonians in 586 BC, in spite of the prophecies of Nahum, Zephaniah, Habakkuk, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. Which brings us to Daniel. Daniel was taken captive at this particular point and taken to Babylon. And he was a faithful man. There are very, 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 very few people in Scripture who have no criticisms launched against them. And Daniel's one of them. You could say that Joseph was a bit of a big head when he was younger, but whatever. But it's very, very rare to find someone as faithful as Daniel. I mean, the Lord Jesus himself, obviously, is the perfect example. But Daniel was faithful. And the boys have read extremely well. There was no corruption in him, verse 4. And, you know, they concocted this law, didn't they? That no one was supposed to pray to God or only supposed to pray to this idol, etc. And I love it because Daniel goes back home, closes the door, gets down on his knees and prays. He doesn't flinch. It doesn't even occur to him not to. And this is a real challenge to us nowadays, isn't it? There are various things that occur to us, and we think, ooh, should I do that? You know, I've got 20 of those, all right? I'll show you. I've got 20 of these. They're lovely. They really are excellent. The Queen's Platinum Jubilee. And I've got about 12 neighbours. And also, there's a lovely booklet called The Faithful Queen. You're getting those? I've got 30. All right. If you get 30, it's £1.50. If you get 50, it's £1.
Yes, we're getting 70.
70, wonderful, excellent. They are beautiful, absolutely beautiful books. And they quote various, but they talk about the Queen's faith, they talk about the royal family, but they quote what the Queen has said. And I think I had 60 servant queens 6 years ago, and they went like dolly mixtures. It was extraordinary. It's still one in the dentists. Whenever I go to the dentist, I can see the copy there on the table. And what it occurs to us, shall I give it or shan't I? I can assure you, my dear friends, you would be amazed. I gave one to my plumber. Okay? He had his head stuck under the sink, and I thought, I'll go and get it while he's down there. And I got it out of the living room, and I came back. One of those. And I said, are you a royalist? He said, no, I'm okay. I said, I don't think she should be executed or anything like that. Big guy, Pete. And I said, well, here's a wonderful book, I said. And he's got some wonderful helps. Post-COVID, everyone's being very, you know, worried about lots of different things and anxious and so on. Some wonderful helps in here. Would you be interested in this? Oh, yes. Straight away. And you know, there are various things that occur to us and we worry. Oh, if I give it to Mrs. So-and-so, will she speak to me again? Well, as long as the Lord is speaking to you, give it to her. Because it's more important that the Lord is still speaking to you than Mrs. Jones is still speaking to you. And you could be a great blessing to Mrs. Jones, who probably didn't even think that you were thinking of her. And it doesn't occur to Daniel. It doesn't occur to him to stop. And that's very important. Faithfulness. It can be a habit. It can be a very, very good habit. People say, well, I'm just going to church. Oh, you always go to church at 10:30. Why don't you come to our barbecue? It's just tradition. And you think, no, I'm going to go. I know it's something which I do on a regular basis. But in the process, you are being faithful. Anyway, let's move on. Daniel was a wonderful man, faithful to God, honoring God, worshipping him. And remember what that word meant in Hebrew. Firm, true, steadfast, sure, and trustworthy. Or the prophets were faithful. They contemned the evil of their day, but also through their faithfulness, God was declaring his love, God's faithfulness. Hosea is a striking example of that. If you want to read Hosea, which is the first of the minor prophets, and how God tells him to go and marry Gomer. And Gomer is so faithless. She's so faithless to him. And of course, she represents Israel. The prophets were speaking of a plan of salvation. As they were trying to bring the nation back to God, they also injected into their prophecies, by the Spirit of God, injecting into their prophecies, there was the wonderful plan of salvation that went beyond the sacrifices of the temple and the annual festivals. Although the prophets identified the breaking of the old covenant, and they broke it all the time, they had idols, there was terrific injustice, there was cruelty, the consequent punishment, nevertheless, they spoke of a new way forward. They condemned that, but they're also within. I don't know if you've ever read all the way through the Bible. You know, if you don't, and there's a wonderful plan in there, by the way, and that's a lovely part of it, to have a Bible reading plan all the way through Scripture. You say, oh my word, look at Isaiah. Over 60 chapters. Look at Ezekiel. Oh my word. And you're reading through, and you're being faithful, and you're reading through the scriptures, and you're getting through chapter after chapter. Bang, something hits you. And a verse will hit you. I didn't know that was in the Bible. I've never read that before. And there are jewels all the way through these mighty, great, big prophecies. So the love of God just comes through. You know as well as I do, one of the most beautiful verses out of Lamentations. Anybody like to quote it? New every morning, yes? My mercies are new every morning. Lamentations 3, right in the middle of Jeremiah all of his tears. And the French word for lamentation is Jérémiade, by the way. They actually say Jeremiads in French. That in the middle of this powerful prophecy, that the people, you know, look, you're going to go into exile, there come these wonderful blessings and promises. And if we faithfully read through the scripture, they will come to us. And as the people were rejecting the prophets, they were rejecting the love of God. You read through Ezekiel, listen, or Jeremiah. And Jeremiah 31:31 says, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand and to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them." That takes you back to Hosea and Gomer. "This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time. I will put my law in their minds and write them in their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive the wickedness and I will remember their sins no more." You have the promise of Messiah coming. Ezekiel is even clearer. Ezekiel, I mean, how many have read Ezekiel recently? You know, it's tough going. Wow. You know, you've got all this machine at the front, all the wheels going around in different directions, etc. What's all this mean, etc., etc.? You get to chapter 36. Verse 26. "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Then I will live in the land I gave your ancestors." Sorry, "then you will live in the land I gave your ancestors. You will be my people and I will be your God." So how is this to be achieved? Then Isaiah, of course, you know very well. He speaks of the suffering servant, one great enough to pay for our sin. 800 years before he came. "Surely he took upon us up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We are like sheep. We have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." This was Messiah. This was the incarnate embodiment of the faithful promise of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God was being faithful to a faithless people. And off they went into exile. But one who would be faithful in all things was born and who set his face to go to Jerusalem, to the cross. In Hebrews chapter 9 we read, "For this reason Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant." In Luke 22 verse 20, the Lord says, "In the same way after supper he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you.'" In Hebrews 8, "By calling this covenant new, he has made the first one obsolete, and what is obsolete is outdated and will soon disappear." In 2 Corinthians 3:6 we read, "He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the spirit. For the letter kills." The people of the Old Testament, they could not keep it. All it was laws to tell them how bad they were and how much they needed a savior. And that came via various sacrifices and various pictures of the coming Messiah. No. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And God in Christ Jesus has been faithful to his promises. So I have a question for you this morning. How faithful are we? How faithful are we? And in what ways are we faithful? Are we faithful in prayer? Are we praying without ceasing? You know, somebody said, "How can you pray without ceasing?" Have you ever been in love? Have you ever fallen in love and can't get that person out of your mind? Are you always singing the same song? Have you ever had an earworm? They call them earworms, don't they? But you hear a song and you can't stop hearing it. It's going in your head all the time. It's extraordinary. And You can pray without ceasing, my friends. Trust me. I was a teacher for 35 years in the public sector, in secondary schools. Trust me, when you've got pupils last thing on a Friday afternoon for an hour and a quarter, every lesson was an hour and a quarter, and these particular boys did not want to learn French, okay? They were 16 years old, and they were like the size of small trees, okay? And I had them for 2 years, every Friday afternoon, from, I've been retired 16 years, so it finished a quarter to, so it would have been from 2:30 to 3:45. I had 25 boys to teach them French for 2 years, and they didn't want to learn. That's praying without ceasing, because I had to think about that all week, and various other situations, and other challenges, shall we say, in and out of the Christian walk. Praying without ceasing, my friends, is just an awareness of the situation you find yourself in and going back and forth to the Lord, back and forth to the Lord. I haven't got the statistic with me, but I wonder how many times young people text per day. It's staggering. It's staggering. You can text without ceasing. Did you know that? Well, if you can text without ceasing, you can pray without ceasing. It's as simple as that. It's a wonderful habit. Do you pray? Do you talk to the Lord when you're driving? I do. And so on and so forth. And obviously praying together. Being faithful. Maintaining that relationship. That wonderful relationship. Reading the scripture, but obeying it also. Getting through the scripture, ticking it off, all right? I have an index. I try to read through scripture about once every 2 years, okay? And I go to the front of the Bible, and I tick that particular, you know, you go to the index of the books, and I tick that, so on and so forth. Sometimes I do it mechanically. Other times, as I say, the verses just pop out. It's extraordinary. And I think to myself, well, I know this chapter. I've read this chapter before so many times. Read it, the Lord says. And I always, there's always something. And you think to yourself, I know the verse, but I never realized that it was so meaningful. And so on and so forth. Study the scriptures diligently, because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify of me, the Lord says. In attending communion, he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. And do it faithfully. Do it regularly. Examine yourself regularly. 1 Corinthians 11 says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine, and a woman, and a child, examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. We all know 1 Corinthians 13. Look at 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. So be set faithful also, serving one another. In Galatians 5, for you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another. And then finally, we have this extraordinary verse in Revelation, chapter 2, verse 10. Be ye faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. So, we have begun with a faithful Creator, and we have ended with an exhortation to be faithful unto death, and for the promise from a faithful God of eternal life. It's very wise to be faithful, because in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 24, it says, the one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. So may the Lord bless us all as we examine ourselves and understand the importance of faithfulness. Those of you who have been faithful in this wonderful church here are a light in a very dark world. And it's very sad when certain situations occur and people do not respond. When they do, it blesses the Lord and it blesses others wonderfully in Lechlade, where we are in the Baptist church there, to have faithful people come. We've lost people during COVID. Maybe you have as well. But to have faithful people coming. They can be faithful at the age of 8 or 85. They can be faithful at any age. And they can be faithful in so many things. We have one dear lady, Diana. She's 85. Okay? if I'm 85. Boy.
She's there before I am.
She's got a key. She gets in. She's putting the hot water on for the tea afterwards. A 9:45. She'll do the communion. She's again around, and she's so faithful. She is so faithful. And there are people in the background, people that we don't notice, people who don't want to be thanked, who are faithful. And the Lord knows, and the Lord rewards. And may we praise the Lord for them. They are wonderful. And may the Lord challenge us, if there's anything else that we can do, any kind of step that we can take in order to support something, that maybe the knees are sagging, so and we can support. That is so important in the day and age in which we live. And to be faithful, visiting people, and to give little gifts or thoughtful things. Out there in the world, there is so much faithlessness. May we be faithful servants of the Lord by his grace. Amen. Well, I think we're going to sing now, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Really, it's the only thing we can sing, isn't it? So shall we stand to sing? Thank you.